Hello, and welcome to Highly Irregular, the podcast with no right angle. Think of it like a big, beautiful Christmas tree, its lush boughs laden with bright green needles towering above you, kneeling down there on the floor, adorned with jewels, baubles, dazzling white lights, and at your feet, a present. Go on, my dear. Open it. You rip off the paper and pull out the contents. Oh. What is it? They're sketches, dear. Sketches? But what am I supposed to do with them? Jam them in your ears, darling. Won't it hurt? Not physically, no. Though some of the jokes might be painful in other ways. Oh, okay. But I wanted a hoverboard. Christmas is a time for family and wine. Christmas is a period for reminding yourself that beer is good. Christmas is a day for tradition and omission of the problems the past year has sent our way. So we lay out our crackers and we wrap up our presents. We decorate the tree with shiny balls. And we gather round the staircase and put plastic sheets on the carpets for the greatest tradition of them all. The greatest tradition of them all. When we throw the Christmas carcass down the stairs, we throw the Christmas carcass down the stairs, and whichever poor sod is unlucky enough to be stood where it lands has to eat the head. So the winner gets the offal, while the rest of us all scoffle the prime cuts, desserts and the mince pies. Of course they can have some too. It's Christmas, we're not cruel. But not before they finish their eyes. When we throw the Christmas carcass down the stairs, we throw the Christmas carcass down the stairs, and whichever poor sod is unlucky enough to be stood where it lands has to eat the head.
And so the Christmas episode got underway. What would follow? A bedtime story? A heartwarming tale? Who knows? But I'll tell you one thing, if I get interrupted by a bloody news bulletin, then I...
Welcome to the news. This is the news. 1 year after he famously cancelled Christmas in the run-up to the event in 2020, today Prime Minister Boris Johnson has performed a shocking U-turn and declared that Christmas 2020 is to be uncancelled. As such, there will be not one, but two Christmases this winter.
When I said last year that Christmas was cancelled, what I meant and what I think everybody really knew that I meant at the time actually was that Christmas was merely postponed indefinitely, and it was always my intention that it should be reinstated just as soon as there was an appropriate scandal elsewhere that we want to draw attention from. It is, therefore, with great pleasure that I can announce that Christmas 2020 will be taking place alongside Christmas 2021. For me personally, this is fantastic news, as I can now spend one Christmas with the children that my wife knows about, and the other with the ones that she doesn't.
So far, the move has received a mixed reception, with some members of the public, much like last year, left frustrated at the extremely short notice and pointing out that there is almost no time to source additional presents, extra supplies, or a second Christmas carcass. Well, it's my opinion that if you don't already have a backup Christmas carcass stored in a backup freezer in a garage and hooked up to a dedicated diesel-powered generator in case of a sudden disaster, emergency, or loss of power every year as standard, then quite frankly, I don't know what to tell you. Our next story. A decline in the popularity of shelves in contemporary interior design has left a record number of elves unemployed.
Hello, and Merry Christmas, and welcome to another session of guided meditation. Imagine you are a lovely Christmas cracker laid out on a long mahogany table, decked out with food and drinks, all set upon a lovely seasonal tablecloth, and surrounded by a large gathering of extended family. Picture the smells, the sounds, the aura of good health and cheer. Everyone is smiling, sharing stories, enjoying the night. It's a moment of happiness, and you are in the center, basking in it all. Feel their warmth washing over you like a hot cup of Horlicks. As they finish their meal, you feel a hand at either end of you grasp you and lift you up. Such elation you feel to be wanted, to be included on this, the most joyous of occasions. This is your moment, what you're here for. The anticipation is almost too much. What will they do with you? Are they taking you to dance? Are they passing you around the table to meet all the lovely guests? You feel the grips tighten. It's quite uncomfortable now. It's really quite uncomfortable now. And then, oh, no. Are they about to... Oh, God! They're ripping you apart! Clean in two! I can't watch! Was that an explosion? Oh, the humanity! Your guts! Your guts are bleeding out over the table and they're laughing! They're laughing! The sick bastards are laughing! Your innards are sprawled out over the seasonal tablecloth and to them it's a joke! Oh, somebody please stop this madness, this cruelty! Oh, I think I'm going to be sick!
And now, it's time for Raffy Bones' Nog of the Week. Nog of the Week. Nog of the Week. This week's nog is eggnog. That's my Nog of the Week. It's made from eggs and nog, and it tastes just real fly. I've had about 10 glasses now, and I think it might be starting to get me, what was it? Did I say it's made from eggs already? That's my Nog of the Week. I am the critic. And what I say, no, it's gone. Recipe review. Picture the scene. The snow is falling, the wine is flowing. You've just had the most wonderful Christmas lunch with your nearest and dearest. And after a few hours laughing together at the poor loser who had to eat the head, it's time for something a little sweet. Enter the mince pie.
a staple Yuletide sweet, and nothing beats homemade. Today, I have been trying the version by Mr. Paul Hollywood. The recipe calls for jazzing up the mincemeat with some extra fruit and zest using an apple and tangerines. Perfect for me, as I happen to have a few here already sitting in my fruit bowl. Now, unfortunately, I checked the pantry and I didn't have any mincemeat, so I did have to substitute that particular ingredient with some minced lamb, but we'll get to that later. The first thing to do is make the pastry. Eggs, butter, or margarine in my case, sugar and flour, plus a splash of cold water, or sherry in my case, worked together, but not overly so, and chilled for assembly later. For the filling, grate the tangerines to get all the zest out, then peel and chop both the tangerine and apple. After this, toss the fruit into a bowl and work into the lamb by hand. Get your pastry out, cut into discs and shape into cups. Fill each one with minced meat, then cover with pastry lids. The recipe says sprinkle with caster sugar, but as long as it looks like snow, it doesn't really matter what it is. So I went with citric acid powder. Finally, bake for 20 minutes at 200 degrees. Now my oven has actually broken down at the moment, so I put them in for an equivalent time in the microwave. The results were, frankly, a mess. I don't know if Mr. Hollywood has made mince pies before, but does he know they're not supposed to explode? It's carnage in there! And what detritus I managed to scrape out and try tasted abominable! The tartness of the citric acid combined with the meatiness of the lamb, the confusing hints of apple, and as for what's left of the pastry, limp and oily, totally the wrong consistency. And now my microwave is broken, as well as my oven. Looks like I'll be going cold turkey this Christmas, quite literally. Luckily for Paul, all my reviews at Christmas time get at least one star, in honor of the Star of Bethlehem. But know this, Paul, you will certainly not be getting any further ones. One star for this terrible recipe.
Hey, Stu Horgan here.
Who?
I'm the head muller. Don't think about it. Thank you for listening to the Christmas special of Highly Irregular. This is the last episode of the first season, so congratulations on making it through. I hope you're not too battered and bruised by the whole journey. I'm going to be taking a bit of a break. I have no idea when the next Highly Irregular will be, but if you want to keep track with developments, you know where to find me, at PodlyIrregular on all the social media things, or you can email me, podirregular@gmail.com. Anyway, as it's the Christmas episode, I wanted to do something a bit different, so we're going to do a Christmas quiz, which you can play along with at home. But joining me in the studio to play along here, and by studio I do mean the desk in our living room, it's my partner Josie. He's flown in specially just for the event.
Hello.
Hey.
Long commute.
It was. Well, I hope you've still got some energy left for this quiz. Are you feeling ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay. So this quiz is going to be kind of a mashup of our two favourite quiz shows that are on TV at the moment, Richard Osman's House of Games and The Hit List.
Other quiz shows are available.
Yes. So before we get to that, though, I'm just going to hit you with a few quickfire questions. Christmas questions, just to get you warmed up. Here we go. What do you want for Christmas?
That's cheating.
Well, hang on, I haven't told you the options yet.
Okay.
Gold, frankincense, or myrrh?
I think I've got to go for gold.
Well, I haven't told you the amounts yet.
Oh, right. Okay.
2 medium gold coins, 1 pound of frankincense, or a tablespoon of myrrh?
Does anyone know what myrrh is?
No.
Cool. I'll stick with the gold.
Sticking with the gold. Wise choice. Okay. Next question. Which of these things is more likely? Finishing a game of Monopoly or finishing the entire 12 Days of Christmas song start to finish?
I can't choose. I don't think I've ever finished either.
Yeah, it's zero versus zero, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
fair. Lose-lose situation.
That's a permissible answer, trick question.
Okay.
In 12 Days of Christmas, what animal do you think the eight maids were a-milking?
I haven't thought about it. I would assume a cow.
Cow, we're sticking with cow, yep. That's always a safe answer. And final quickfire question. Do you think that angels can lie?
They can lie down.
Oh.
Well, or can they?
Like
they kind of float and fly.
What would you lie
can
on?
Can they even lie down?
Can you? Well, you're in the clouds.
You can lie on a cloud.
Can you?
I hear that's a pretty nice feeling.
Angels can.
Yeah.
We're going with yes. Okay. So gold, trick question, cow, and yes.
Is that my new internet password?
It should be, because they are all correct.
Yay!
100%. All right. So we're going to go on to the main part of the quiz. So feel free to play along at home. So this is going to be a mashup of Richard Osman's House of Games and the Hit List, which we're calling Stu Horgan's Richard Osman's House of Hit List Charts of Smash. So House of Games has an answer smash round where basically you get asked two questions and you have to combine the answers by smashing them together into one long answer. And the Hit List is a game show where you have to name the song and the artist of a tune that you hear. So we're going to put these together now. You'll pick it up as we go along, I think. So let me just go and get my guitar. Okay, question one. Which legendary British actor played Peter Pettigrew in the Harry Potter film franchise? And here's the second part of the question. I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree.
Bzz.
That's Josie.
Timothy Spall, I Want for Christmas is You.
Timothy Spall, I Want for Christmas is You is correct. Timothy Spall and All I Want for Christmas is You. Smash them together. Timothy Spall, I Want for Christmas is You. You getting it? Good. Question two.
We've got a lot more.
What is the name of the operating system that came after Windows XP and before Windows 7? And the second part is... Baby, if you got to go away, don't think I can take the pain, won't you? Josie?
Vista Another Day.
Vista Another Day, yes. Windows Vista and Stay Another Day. Vista Another Day. Question three. Which English novel by William Makepeace Thackeray is also the name of a culture magazine? And your song? The boys of the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. And we're going to have to time you out.
I think you will have to time me out.
I'm afraid the answer was Vanity Fairy Tale of New York. Vanity Fair and Fairy Tale of New York.
Yeah. Should have got that.
Should have got that.
Did I lose a point?
Yeah, you didn't get it right.
I didn't answer it, though.
Oh, you didn't answer it. You just don't get a point.
I got timed out.
Yes. Question four. The marine creature with distinctive black and white stripes that somewhat resemble nightwear is commonly known by which name? And the song. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph in the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Bzzz.
Josie?
Pajama Shark the Heralds.
That is correct. That is correct. Pajama Shark and Hark the Herald Angels Sing becomes Pajama Shark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thanks, Blue Planet.
What a mouthful. And finally, question five. Which ancient Greek poet often said that nectar is the drink of the gods. And your song?
Snow is falling all around me. Children playing, having fun.
I feel like you've got the second part here.
I do have the second part.
Struggling with part one. Ancient Greek poet.
Ends in Mary.
Not necessarily all of Mary.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
That's correct. Josie! Homer and Merry Christmas, everyone becomes Ho Merry Christmas, everyone. Well played. I think you got 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
4 out of 5, 80%. That's a pass in most exams. So congratulations, Josie. How do you feel?
Well, if I got them all right, then people would think we'd rehearsed this.
And well done if you got any of those at home. Really well done as well, because I think this is more difficult than I thought it was. So.
And if you got any wrong, you lose a point.
Yes, if you got any wrong, you lose a point. So
send your scores in.
Send them in on a postcard. Right, well, as I said, this is going to be the last episode for some time, so thank you for listening. And before we go, of course, we just have to say a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Tempora Toys Dogs for Christmas. Created in our state-of-the-art factory built directly on top of an ancient wormhole, these puppies are bound by mysterious temporal energy to pop into existence for one 24-hour period each solar cycle, after which they return to whatever unknown dimension they usually occupy. For all of the joy and none of the upkeep, get your loved ones a Tempora Toys Dog for Christmas.
Warning, this dog is just for Christmas, not for life. Tempora Toys is not responsible for any incidents or injuries that may occur to your dog for Christmas while travelling to or occupying any unknown dimension or dimensions before or after Christmas Day, or for any additional interdimensional beings that may hitch a ride through the ancient wormhole when your dog reappears.
Yes! Beautifully read T's and C's. And our next sponsor is a charity appeal, so I'll hit that tape now. Thank you.
Christmas, a time of togetherness, happiness, presenceness, a time to celebrate with your nearest and dearest. But this year, spare a thought for those less fortunate.
I remember growing up, when we used to gather around the stairs. It was perfect. I'll never forget the look on my brother's face when that goose landed at his feet. I want to give my children Christmas memories they can cherish too, but we can only afford to live in this single-story apartment.
Every year, thousands of families across the country are spending a Christmas in unimaginable conditions. No stairs and no carcass.
All of us crying with laughter. I mean, tears rolling down our cheeks, you know? Absolute hysterics, just losing it at Dad, hunched over his plate like a goblin, trying to struggle through the last of the heads just so he could have a bit of pudding. But since he lost his job and we had to move into this bungalow, well, we just can't do that anymore.
This year, let everyone experience the joy of Christmas by donating to Step Up for Christmas. Just £24 can provide a small stepladder for a family living in a flat, apartment, bungalow or other single-story living space, giving them the elevation they need to throw down a carcass. Donate now to lift someone up this Christmas. And you can donate instantly by sending a text to 1-800-STEPLADDER with the message, "Donate now £5 for the Stepladder Charity Appeal, thank you." That's, "Donate now £5 for the Stepladder Charity Appeal, thank you." And then just sign off with your name at the bottom as well. Thank you for your generosity.
Welcome to Book Club. Today, we'll be reading a Christmas adventure called Barney the Brussels Sprout. This children's fiction novel was written by Heather Egan and commissioned by the Royal Society for Parsnips. Barney the Brussels Sprout. Here starts our tale, but who's it all about? Why, it's about Barney, just an ordinary Brussels sprout. Now winter was coming, and all through the kingdom, the veggies felt a stir from somewhere deep within them, for close through the day they would reach their ultimate goal, to be cleaned, cooked and eaten, straight down someone's mouth hole. Barney felt it too, but knew not what it meant. "Curse the underfunded public education system of this vegetable government!" he cried out, for this thing wasn't mentioned in any of his books. "Just how on earth is a Brussels sprout cooked?" "I know," thought Barney. "I'll ask my friends. Someone must know how a sprout's journey ends." And with that, he greenly set off with glee and soon found his friend, Gary the garden pea. "Tell me, Gary, come Christmas time, what happens to peas? And do you think the same thing could happen to me?"
"Well, us peas are boiled until we're just right and slathered in butter. What a delight! But boiling a sprout? Why, no, you're too slimy. You're not getting in our pot. Just try me."
Trying not to feel glum, Barney set off again to find another chum. There in the distance was Carla the carrot. If she knew the answer, surely she'd share it.
"Carla, how are you going to be cooked on this eve? Do you do it the same way as Gary the garden pea?"
"Oh no, Barney. This year I think I'd like to be steamed. It's practically a spa treatment. Oh, what a dream."
"Do you think I could steam with you, Carla? That sounds real swell."
"With me? Goodness no. Think of the smell."
So Barney moved on. Then suddenly he fell. His little legs must have tripped. And when he looked up, standing over him were three tall parsnips. Their names were Paula and Peter and Persephone, the prettiest veg this side of the Bean Valley.
"Hello, my parsnip pals," said Barney, getting up from the floor. "I'm having some trouble finding out what I'm for."
"Oh, Barney," said Persephone, "that's no reason to fret. Why, none of us know what's happening to us yet."
"It's true," chimed in Peter. "You could glaze me with honey and roast me till crispy. What a treat for the taste buds. You'd be a fool to dismiss me."
"Or maybe fry me up," added Paula. "It's no trouble, and my delicious nutty flavour will feel like a cuddle."
"Or boil me,"
exclaimed Persephone.
"But don't stop there. I'm ideal for mashing, for a side with some flair."
Barney stared in amazement at this wonderful three.
"Surely," he asked, "you could do one of those things with me."
"Well, the sweetness of parsnips," replied Peter. "That's our power. But a sprout? Oh, they're so smelly, so slimy, so sour. Then what is to become of me?"
The sprout turned round as he heard a fluttering of wings, and stood there before him was a large, flighted thing.
"Barney," it said, "I will show you what you seek."
"A bird? How did you get into the vegetable kingdom?"
"I flew here with my wings," said the bird. "I'm a bird."
The bird picked him up and set him on its back, and together they took off with an almighty quack. Out of the kingdom they flew and they flew, until away in the distance they saw a speck of earthen hue. The heat hit them like a wave from the red crater in the middle.
"It's time you learnt the truth, young sprout," said the bird. "The correct end for you is not any that you've heard. No, you belong at the bottom of this volcanic pit. And you'll realise I'm right once you think about it."
"It's true," realised Barney. "The other vegetables had everything covered. Would you feed your child a smelly wet sprout if you were their mother or father?"
"I see now, big bird. Your thinking was not rash. It's just what's best for everyone if I be turned to ash. Unless, hang on, what if I were grated and turned to a hash?"
Maybe, replied the bird, "if you were a parsnip."
With that, he cast Barney off, and like a stone he fell deep into the fiery pit, as if flung down a well. And upon landing, he burst into flames and was incinerated into nothing, never to set foot anywhere near the gravy and the stuffing. Then, finally, all was well, and everyone was a winner. For now, there were no sprouts to ruin Christmas dinner. Well, Merry Christmas and enjoy your parsnips, I guess, is the message. Bye-bye.
Chow, how! It's me, hotshot city trader and certified party boy, Horatio LaBosse. It's the most wonderful time of the year, the time of the office Christmas party. But parties the world over are being pooped by this pesky pandemic. So here are my top tips to prevent your festive ball from getting metaphorically margin called. Tip number one. Buffet food is a hotbed for germs to mega spread. The safest approach when you need a snack is to seal up your canapé in a plastic food safety bag before you swallow it. Number two, remember to always sanitize the photocopier between bums. Number three, before heading out to the event, soak your face mask in vodka. This way, you can start getting drunk on the fumes without compromising your inbound air traffic when taking public transport. Nearby commuters also tend to give you a little more space for some reason, and that's nice too. Number four, we all know it's inevitable that drinks will be passed around in some game or other, so make sure it's you that proposes the drinking game, and therefore you who takes the first drink. That way, you get a clean sip, and everyone else has to deal with your germs. That is what we call in the biz, a hostile takeover. Ha! Number five, the final piece of the puzzle. Propositioning the office hottie. Oh yeah, forget everything you know. Lateral flow is the new mistletoe. Dangle your negative result in the air to let the ladies know you're clean, mean, and ready to bean. Huh! That's all from me. Now get out there and party like there's no tomorrow. By which I mean, there is a tomorrow, but not for you. You're pulling a sickie.
So that was it then, was it? A Christmas episode. Well, could have been worse. I hope you enjoyed it anyway. And I hope you have a wonderful holiday season with laughter and loved ones. I know I won't. I'm all on me own. I didn't used to be, but my girl left me. Just before episode 4 it was, I was taking her out for a walk through the sketches when suddenly she ran off. I haven't seen her since. And now, it's so cold and dark outside. Oh lassie, where are you? How I wish you'd come by. A visitor? Now? Who could that be? Probably some door-to-door salesman trying to trick me into buying their tap. All right, I'm coming. Lassie? Lassie! You came back, lassie! You came back for Christmas! Good girl! Oh, where have you been? Well, never mind that, you're here now. Quick girl, go on to the stairs. I'll fetch the carcass. Another visitor? Who the heck could that be? A choir? Are you sure, girl? Well, blow me down, you were right. A Christmas choir. Oh, lassie, I've never been so happy. It's a Christmas miracle.
Some people only have one Christmas carcass. Some have two or three. But we can all agree, it just wouldn't be Christmas without a carcass. Plummeting and terminal velocity.
Ladies
and gentlemen, the highly irregular Christmas choir!
The Christmas choir!
been Highly Irregular Season 1. I've been Stu Horgan. Oh, you already knew that? Well, someone keeps asking. Thank you for your support, your encouragement, your feedback, your visible confusion. Thank you to our wonderful quiz contestant, Josie. And lastly, of course, thank you to the Highly Irregular Christmas Choir. In order of how many letters of their name are also in the word Christmas. James Andrew Coning Watson, congratulations. You have the Christmassiest name, although some would argue that using your middle names is cheating. I'll let you off those. You had no idea this was going to be a competition. Thank you to Varun Manfrey, to Melina Musa Petros, Yolanda Chacon Gameth, Anthony Hewitt, Austin Lederman, Josie Maunders, Alice Horgan, Laura Jane Regan, Jordan Thompson, Matt Baker, John Musa Petros, Mackenzie Nelson, James Blay, Jeremy Ward, Lauren LaRue, Johnny Miller, and last but only least Christmassy in name, all the way from Australia, Peter De Bono. Thank you, everybody, so, so much, and I'll see you next year. Ah, stuck around to see what this bit was, did you? Well, in the making of the Christmas Choir, it turned out that some of my wonderful participants seemed to have a particular trouble following one instruction, which was to clap after the first bar had played in the backing track. I thought it was a simple enough instruction, but it turned out to be somewhat controversial. So what follows is just a few select outtakes and bloopers from the making of this song, including, of course, the clap shenanigans. Enjoy.
Hey there, Stu. Hope all is well and happy holidays. And I'm sitting in my closet right now, ready to record.
What the f***?
I still don't know where to clap. Okay, it's fine. I guess I can just work out where I clap. I think it's like 3 seconds in.
And you have to clap the rest of it?
No, you just have to clap that one bit at the beginning that says clap. Oh, I feel really nervous. Not that one.
When we throw the...
I'm going to kill you!
What? That was brilliant. But now we keep my f***ed up.
Yeah.
Down the stairs.
Let me just go and get my guitar.
Break your guitar.
I'll clean it up in post.
What the f*** is a sod?
Christmas carcass.
Best one yet.
Christmas carcass.
I f***ing nailed that one.
Fucking
Christmas carcass. Yeah, baby.